It is good to see everyone this Sunday morning, August 6, 2023, and what an encouragement it is just to have you folks here today, and an encouragement it is that you folks who listen on the website. Today we're going all the way back in Hebrews to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and I'm probably not going to teach Hebrews verse by verse, but I'm going to go section by section to cover some topics, because the Hebrew writer interweaves these themes all throughout the Word, and there are certain ways you could teach it verse by verse, but I feel the flow in a different way. So we are going back to Hebrews chapter 1, basically verse 1 through 4, or verse 1 through 3, and we're going to try to unpack some of that. But to begin with, I'm just going to share with you verse 1 and 2a. And the title of today's message is To Know, For You and I to Know the God Who Speaks. And this is this can go on and on, because there's a lot to it. Hebrews 1 verse 1, God, who at sundry times or different times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers, or the patriarchs of Israel, by the prophets. And I will continue throughout this study in the weeks ahead to point out the context of this book. It is written to Hebrew believers who are being pressured to go back to the Old Covenant law. The temple is still standing at this time. They are being pressured to add works to grace and to add ritual and rite under the Mosaic law, R-I-T-E, to the finished work of Christ on the cross. So all you got to keep that in mind every verse you read. Spoke unto the patriarchs by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us, the Hebrews and the Gentiles, I'll add that in, by His Son. Let's go to the Lord. Father, as I call on You today, I ask again, as we're in August, Heavenly Father, for these 39 years I've asked for forgiveness as I stand in this pulpit because or sit today. For Father, I cannot do this. But with Your anointing, all things are possible for all of us. So I pray for forgiveness and cleansing of the filth of my sin, as Your prophet Isaiah says. And I ask to be cleansed by Your blood, anointed by Your Spirit, filled with Your Spirit. And Father, I pray You open our ears and our hearts to hear what You would say unto us. And Lord, I pray to humbly wash the feet of these that listen. Father, I believe there are promises today that can help us all. There are words today in this message from You in these scriptures that can help us all, whatever we may be facing today or this week or in our lives, because You are the God who lives in us and gives us knowledge, wisdom, and discernment for today, and gives us divine strength and peace for today and for our lives. I thank You for heaven. But I thank You for the full and abundant life that is promised to us right now. Holy Spirit, lead us, move upon us, and direct. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it is mentioned twice. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake, number one, He speaks. He is the God who speaks. In time past, unto the fathers or the patriarchs of Israel by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. To know the God who speaks. And you say, Brother Leo, that's basic. Well, it may be basic, but there are deists who believe that God exists, but you can't know Him. There are those sects that believe that God exists, but He doesn't speak, that He doesn't reach down unto us. But we know that the true God, the God of Israel, the Savior God, is the God who speaks. And He not only speaks, but it says, verse 2 says, He speaks unto us His Son. Now, in this context, He's talking about the nation of Israel, His chosen nation of Israel. So I'm going to apply this in three ways. Number one, God spoke uniquely to His chosen nation of Israel. And if you don't grasp that, you're going to be in a religion that's got the most screwed up doctrine you can imagine. So, number one, He does speak to and has spoken and is still speaking and will one day return to His chosen nation of Israel. And so, He spoke uniquely unto them and not to the other pagan nations or Gentile nations. He spoke uniquely unto them by the prophets and through His miracles of deliverance, etc. Number two, though, as I'll apply in these messages over the next 3 or 4 weeks about God speaking, God speaks to humanity as a whole. He speaks to humanity as a whole. We'll get into a message where I'm going to say, how does God speak? Well, God speaks in power. God spoke, the whole world came to being. And then God speaks in truth. I'm the only way. And we'll study all that. But right now, we want to lay out this foundation that God speaks to humanity as a whole, and then thirdly, God speaks to us individually in a personal way. So you could just stop right there. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, He is introducing us to the God who speaks to us, to humanity, to Israel, to individuals. Now, why does God speak? Why does God speak? In these three verses, you get two answers. Number one, in verse 2, it says, He hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Verse 3, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, emphasize who? Who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. God speaks to reveal who He is. All right, I want you to understand that. God speaks to reveal who He is. So when God speaks, one aspect of His speaking, and you can write this in your notes, is self-revelation. God speaks to reveal who He is to humanity as a whole, and who He is to us as individuals. And I want you to understand that through creation, through the Word of God, and through the Holy Spirit, God is attempting to speak to us continually 24 hours a day. And that's a wonderful thing. People tell me all the time, Brother Leo, God doesn't speak to me. You're going to see where that fault lies in a few moments. God is continually attempting to speak to you. He's continually attempting to speak to me. And so God speaks. And so God speaks to reveal who He is in self-revelation. So go with me to John chapter 1. I've taken you there. You have been with me 27, 28 years. You have gone to this scripture, I don't know, dozens of times. Dozens of times. Patty made that comment the other day. We're sitting on the front porch. She said, you were at one church a little over 4 years. You were at another church a little over 6 years. She goes, Leo, you have been here 27 years. You've been preaching in Wayne County, Tennessee. What happened? I said, I guess I got a flat tire or something. I don't know. But God, what an incredible thing. John chapter 1 verse 1 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. God hath spoken to us by his Son, who is the Word. Now, in the Greek, that word is logos. And guess what it means? The act of speaking. The act of speaking or declaring one's mind. That's the basic root of logos. John chapter 1 is Hebrews chapter 1. Patsy, the Word of God's incredible. So what has God done? It is the act of speaking or declaring divinity or God, the Logos. In this context, the pre-incarnate nature of Christ before he came to earth. But the purpose is for self-revelation. Look at verse 14. We beheld, we saw him. He showed himself to us. Verse 18, he hath declared God to us, so that we can know God, his character, his personality, his love, his power, his omniscience, his omnipotence. God's entire desire is to speak to you for self-revelation, so that you can know who he is. Many years of meeting with folks who have end up with bad marriages, they say, you know, I married someone and I didn't really know them at the time. I found out I didn't really know them at the time. We understand this. It's a relationship word, to know someone. When someone reveals themselves to us, when someone pours their hearts out to us. And so this is what this is leading to. God speaks to us. You're going to see in a moment, he spoke to Moses face to face as a friend to a friend. The God who speaks, who reveals himself. So that we can know about him and so that we can know him. We beheld him. He hath declared himself to us. Go back to Hebrews and let me give you the second reason God speaks. All of this, three verses. He wants to reveal his nature, his divine nature to us, his character to us, his love. His holiness, his righteousness, his omnipotence, his omniscience, his all-knowing. It's all about self-revelation. That's why God speaks. You know, it'd be like me interviewing Blair for a job. The first question I would ask her when I was at the College of Charleston, I was trying to get a pharmaceutical job as a sales rep because I'd worked in that for 4 years during college. And I was flown to Atlanta, I was flown to Charlotte, I was flown to Wilmington, Eli Lilly, Park Davis, some came to Charlotte, interviewed with everybody. And that's one of the first questions they ask you. You sit down and they say, tell me something about yourself. You better be prepared for that. I mean, you better be able to look them in the eye and start, well, I am an overachiever. That's always a great answer. Everybody wants to hire these overachievers because, hey, they're going to help your company. But what I want you to understand, you know what this is? This is me sitting down and saying, God, tell me about yourself. Well, open this thing up. I'm going to tell you about myself. So it's about the revelation of who he is. But notice also in verse 2, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the world. And then skip those next two phrases in verse 3. He upholds all things by his power. And then he purged our sins by himself. And now he sat down on the right hand of God. God speaks to reveal himself to us, but God also speaks to reveal his purpose, his actions, and his works for Israel, for humanity, and for our life. You might be sitting there today and think nothing's happening. God is working in your life personally and working for your life personally. But notice what it says. It says, by whom he made the world. Four actions of God. He is creator, by whom he upholds all things, by the word of his power. He is sustainer, by whom he purged our sins. He is our savior. And now he sat down on the right hand of God. He is our intercessor. So in three verses, you're finding out who he is and what he does. He's creator, sustainer, savior, and interceder. And it all goes to Jesus, his son. This entire book, you know, instead of saying the epistle to the Hebrews, you know, you could write in your margin Jesus and then the greater than sign. Because this whole book, Jesus is greater. You're in Hebrews 1. Let me see. Where does it say? Oh, verse 5. I'll go to verse 4. Being made much so more better than the angels. Verse 5. For unto which of the angels did he say at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? The whole book of Hebrews is that Jesus is greater than the angels. Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus is greater than Abraham. Jesus is greater than the Mosaic law. Jesus is greater than the works of man. Jesus is greater than the Levitical priests. Jesus is the foremost of everything. And that's, and he starts laying this thing out. And that's what we just sang, right? Above all. Jesus is above all. And then he thinks on us above all. So we are introduced to who he is and to what he has done. So he is the God who speaks. Spoke to the nation of Israel, speaks to humanity, and speaks to us personally. So what is our part? Yeah, you know, there are times I think our parents have said to us, you know, I don't even know why I'm talking. You don't even listen to me. You know, I think I was told that. You ever been speaking and you don't feel like folks are listening to you? If not, you can try my job. One Sunday. You know, people are thinking about, where are we going to eat? I've got that appointment tomorrow at 9. Should I buy that car? And this maniac's up here raving in the pulpit, you know. It's a great gig if you can get it, Ken. I mean, so what are we to do once we learn that God speaks? Turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. And let me show you. Now, it would be wonderful. I'm buying you time. It would be wonderful if the Bible were in alphabetical order, because then Habakkuk would follow Genesis. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, Habakkuk. And it'd come before Isaiah. Genesis, Habakkuk, Isaiah, James. Huh? Brother Leo's on to something. We're going to put this thing in alpha. I know it. As long as you know where that what is that called? Table of contents. Page 1144. All right. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. This is what we are to know and experience the God who speaks. And he speaks by the prophets of old. So let's learn a lesson from the prophets. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. He says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me. And then I will answer when I am reproved or convicted or spoken to. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch or listen to hear what the Lord will say unto me. So what am I to do when dealing with the God who speaks? I am to place myself in a position where I can hear God. Place yourself in a position where you can hear God. And I'm going to show you how important that is in a moment. It's a principal concern in the God who speaks. Part of our spiritual discipline and activity is to learn how to place ourselves in a position to hear God. And you can make this a direct quote. You can say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to place myself here, and I need to hear what you need to say to me concerning this in my life, and concerning this in my life, and concerning this in my life. And you need to place yourself in that position. We live in a time, in a culture now, where there's so much white noise around us all the time. And I'm going to show you in a moment that the only way you can place yourself in that position to hear God is by getting alone with God, one-on-one, personally. And I would speak things out loud to Him when you're alone with Him, where you can speak to Him out loud and say, Lord, this is the situation. I really need to hear from you on this. I have prayed that prayer 1,000 times. Lord, I really need to hear from you on this. Father, I don't know what to do. I really need to hear from you. Father, please make plain, make straight the way. And sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it takes months. Some things I'm still seeking God on. But I need to hear a word from God. And you need to be able to say that unto the Lord. I need to hear a word from God. Now, you already saw the word patriarch. I'm sorry, the fathers. The nation of Israel placed in a great position of reverence those individuals in what we call the Old Testament. Now, I want you to understand something. The nation of Israel didn't call it the Old Testament. It was their testament. You know, a lot of times we read this thing as if people had the whole Bible. Like Daniel could read Revelation, or Isaiah could read the Gospels. Nobody had any of this. Everybody you read about in here, some of them had the first 5 books they could study that were handwritten. Some of them had an epistle or two read aloud to them, but nobody had this. So it wasn't the old covenant. But I'm going to use that phrase. And they placed those in the old covenant in a position of reverence who spoke directly with God and who God spoke to directly. And therein lies the conflict through the Gospels, okay, and in the book of Hebrews, probably written 35 years after Christ ascended. Somewhere in there, before AD 70. What are you saying, Brother Leo? Jesus would come on the scene and they would get offended and they'd say, are you greater than Abraham? Abraham was given the promise from God. Jesus was saying, yeah, he was. I am the promise. Then they say, are you greater than Moses? Moses was given the law. And Jesus says, yes, I am. I fulfilled the law. So therein lay the conflict. But you can really understand how they revered these individuals. So go with me to Genesis 17. Genesis 17. And this is how we speak with God. I'm going to show you Abraham and Moses. And in Genesis 17, verse 1, it says this, and when Abram was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me. I will make my covenant with you. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. This is a big deal. Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him. Now, we're going to leave Abraham, but we're going to come back to him. Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him and entered into covenant with him. Now, go to Exodus 33, because you got Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and you got Moses. So, go with me to Exodus 33. And look at what the scripture says in verse 9. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. Look at what it says. The Lord talked with Moses. And in verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend. Now we're going to look at that word friend in the Hebrew and the Greek. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend. So when the Lord speaks to you face to face in the Old Covenant, you're considered a friend of God. We're going to come back to Exodus 33, but go to Isaiah 41. Go to Isaiah 41. And in Isaiah 41... In Isaiah 41, verse 8, it says this, but thou, Israel, as my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Now, when a Jewish person read that, their first thought was, that's right, God spoke to Abraham face to face, as a man speaks to a friend. So Isaiah reminds them of it, and then if you go all the way to the book of James in the New Testament, and then I'm going to give you this word. If you go all the way to the book of James in the New Testament, in verse 23, it says this, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. James chapter 2, verse 23, he was called the friend of God. So they spoke with each other face to face as a friend. Now, I'm going to close out with this section. Number one, we're going to look at it in the Hebrew and Greek, and then we're going to say, how does a friend speak to another friend? Because that's how God speaks to you, and that's how he wants you to speak to him as a friend. But let me give you this word. In the Hebrew, it's reya, R-E-Y-A, that word friend, R-E-Y-A. In the Greek, it's philos, P-H-I-L-O-S. P-H-I-L-O-S. So you got reya and philos. And in a noun phrase, a friend is a beloved one or a beloved companion. A beloved companion. Zadaiti says in both the Hebrew and the Greek, it denotes closeness, intimacy. A friend, you are my friend. In relationship and communion, personal interaction. All this is under this word, reya and philos. A beloved one, a beloved companion. So, my friend, God loves you. It denotes closeness, intimacy. In relationship and in communion. Personal interaction. So go back with me to Exodus 33. I'm going to close in Exodus 33. Probably jump back into Habakkuk one more time. But in Exodus 33, I want you to notice this conversation. Verse 11. The Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaks unto a friend. Now, in the Eastern culture, these people are passionate. Clara, they're intense. If you watch them in a marketplace and they're bartering, you think they're going to kill each other. I mean, that's just their personalities, okay? And so this phrase, to speak to someone face-to-face, means this. It means an intense singular focus, an intense singular focus. As if you're the only two in the room. You know, my eyes looking into your eyes looking into my eyes, and an intense listening to what I'm saying to you and to what you're saying to me. That's what it means, face to face as a friend, speaking with a friend. I mean, you're having, and as I said, it's an Eastern cultural thing, but it's like they're having the most important conversation they've ever had in their lives. Every one of them. There's an intensity and a passion and a, I'm going to look Dolan right in the eye, and I may be telling you the sun's going to rise tomorrow morning at 6:15, but you're going to think it's a, I mean, I'm telling you, Dolan. So that's what it means. And so we've got to plug into that. So I want you to see the intensity of this conversation. Moses said unto the Lord, verse 12, Thou said unto me, Bring up this people, and you have not let me know who you're going to send with me. I mean, he's upset, and he's telling God he's upset. I can't do this by myself. And he says to him, Yet you have said, I know thee by name, and thou saw that I found grace in your sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in your sight, show me now your way, what you're doing, who you are, what you look like, that I may know thee and that I might find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. And he said unto me, Hey, you can ask all that, but this is what I'm telling you. I'm going to go with you and I will give you rest. I'm not going to tell you how we're going to do it, Leo. I'm not going to tell you when we're going to do it, Leo. I'm not even going to send anybody to help you, Leo. But I promise you, I'm calling you to preach in 1984, and I'm going to go with you. And sometimes that's all God tells us. Sometimes he tells us more. Sometimes he does fill in the details. But it's okay for you to ask and express to God your fears, your uncertainties, what's bothering you, what you're afraid of. You speak as a friend to a friend. You know he's not going to repeat it to anyone, and you know he's not going to judge you. He's going to listen to you. And he's going to answer. And so the Lord said, My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. You're going to get victory in this. I'll never forget, man. I called my boss. And I said, I'm going to resign today at the sales meeting in Orangeburg, South Carolina. I didn't have a church, but God spoke to me so clearly. So clear. I didn't get a church till August. This was April, May. He said, You got to quit your job. You got to step out in faith. And I'll never forget, we had an office in town in Walterboro, South Carolina, but I also had a copy machine in a spare bedroom in the little farm we were renting from a Baptist preacher. And I'll never forget, my boss and one of the guys that worked one of the trucks came to the house to get that thing. And he wasn't even a believer. And I told him, I said, Walter, he was a golfer at Furman. That's where he had gone to school. He was about 30 years older than me at the time. So he was in his 50s. And I said, Walter, I said, you know, man, I said, this is making it real. You coming to get this stuff. And I said, you know, I got 2 quarter horses to feed. You know, I had 2 quarter horses at that time. And he goes, Leo, he goes, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And here was a guy that didn't even know Jesus, that God was using to speak to me. God can use Potiphar. God can use anyone. You know, God can use an evil king, you know, to give you that assurance. But he's speaking to you as a friend. Sometimes God gives you the details, sometimes he doesn't. All I knew, I was being called to preach. I didn't know where. I didn't already have a church. But boy, God honors that when you will take the step based on what he's saying to you. Because sometimes God says something to us and we stay paralyzed because we want him to say, he'll say step A and you can take it. But you're waiting for him to tell you B and C, and so you don't take A. Well, he's not going to tell you B and C. And so he is the God who speaks. So as Moses is speaking to him, what this means is, you know, Moses is sharing with him his inner thoughts, his plans, his hopes, his fears, what he doesn't understand about it, how he needs help, his lack of self-confidence. And then God is speaking to him the one word he needs to hear: I will be with you. And then Moses says, verse 15, if you're not there, I don't want to go. I don't want to go anywhere, Lord, you're not already there. And that's so great. That ought to be on a bumper sticker. I don't want to be involved in anything, Lord, that you're not already there. And so we know the story of Moses. They speak to each other as a friend would speak to a friend. You don't have to turn there. I'll just quote it to you. So in Habakkuk 2:1, it's our job as a night watchman. He'd get up on the tower and he looked up to heaven and he said, Lord, here I am. And I realize I'm a prophet. So Father, if you've got something for me to write down for the nation of Israel, you tell me. I'll write it on tablets and I'll run with it to whoever I'm to take it to. So what he was doing was placing himself in a position to hear God. Your goal in life is that God become the primary voice that you hear. You mean, Brother Leo, compared to other people? No, compared to you. Cameron, I get in more trouble when the only voice I'm hearing is my own right up here in my head. I don't need to hear what I think about the situation or how I think it can be resolved. But boy, it sure is a blessing when I hear what he thinks and I get his direction and his guidance. The God to know the God who speaks. And what's our job? Put ourselves in a position to hear what God would say to us, but also to put ourselves in a position where with freedom we share with Him. I want to praise Jesus. I want to praise Jesus. I can hear God, and I praise Jesus. God wants to hear me. And isn't that a wonderful thing? As a friend speaks to a friend. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to spend a few moments talking as a friend would speak with a friend. And I hope you visualize Jesus just right there with you. And you share your heart with His heart. And ask Him to share His heart with you about whatever it is you're dealing with right now. Vance Havner said years ago, to be a successful preacher, it takes a heart to reach a heart. So he said, preachers preach from the heart and you'll never go wrong. And so I believe that as a friend speaks to a friend, your heart to God's heart and God's heart to your heart. Would you take a few moments, share something with the Lord right now, and make a commitment to get alone with Him at some point to hear what He desires to say to you.